What up, what up? You are listening to the Six Man Sports Podcast. I am your host, Nikki J. I'd like to thank you for listening to my podcast on this beautiful Friday evening, Friday before college football championship weekend. And I'm excited. I know you're excited. We're going to dive into the Power 5 championship games, and we'll dive into the UCF-Memphis game because they want to be a part of the Power 5, and, you know, I'll give them that opportunity. And then we're going to go into a little bit of college basketball with my knee-jerk reactions. I know we're getting into the close to that third way, a third of the way into the season, but we're still early on in non-conference play, and I want to jump in and talk about some teams. And then I want to talk about some news going on in the NFL. Kareem Hunt just got in a lot of trouble. Leonard Fournette's been in a lot of trouble. And how about them Cowboys looking good last night against the Saints? And then we're going to go into a bit of a new segment, a coach's talk, where I'm gonna talk to you guys about what's wrong with the Celtics and look a little bit deeper than just, you know, an analyst perspective. Maybe give you guys a few tips that you can, and a couple bits of knowledge that you can give to your friends that'll really impress them. And then we're going to have a special shout-out, and then at the end we're going to end with my final thoughts, Final Four style, with who's going to be in my Final Four after this weekend. And yeah, let's get to it, starting with college football championship week. And first up, we're going to be talking about Alabama versus Georgia. And this game brings a lot of interest because, well, it's actually the best game, obviously, of the weekend, as it's a rematch from last year's national championship game. Lots of pieces returned from that game, and as we all remember, that game went into overtime. It's played in the Georgia Dome, so you might think Georgia maybe has an advantage, but it's probably going to be 50-50, and it's going to be a great game. Both teams are playing incredibly well. Alabama hasn't, you know, won a game by less than 21 points this year, and Georgia's been playing some incredible football after just a shocking performance down in Baton Rouge. But I don't know, because with Jake Fromm playing the way he is, I like to think that Georgia has a chance, and I'm really hoping Georgia has a chance, because I really don't want Alabama to win. But the unfortunate part is if Georgia wins, how are you going to be able to tell me that a one-loss Alabama team who didn't win their conference but looked as dominant as they did throughout the entire year wouldn't go over an Ohio State one-loss conference championship or an Oklahoma one-loss conference championship? So, honestly, I don't know if Bama-Georgia matters, because if Alabama wins against Georgia, I think Georgia is the only other competition to Alabama. And I think if Georgia beats Alabama, then they'll have to play them again and Alabama will win that rematch. Or if Alabama beats Georgia, then Alabama won't have any other competition other than maybe Clemson if they can get past Pitt. And it's just, it all looks so doom and gloom for college football to not see Alabama win another national championship. 6 in 10 years would be this year. So here's hoping the field can upset the Crimson Tide. But we're going to move on to the second championship week game, Clemson versus Pitt. Now, this is a not very, like, flashy matchup. Clemson's been dominant the last 6 weeks. At one point in time, like, I think it was in October, Clemson's defense hadn't given up a touchdown in 4 games. Like, the only touch, if you take out the garbage time minutes because they were blowing out teams by 70, like, this is the same team that hung 84 on Louisville. 84. So they're playing a team in Pitt who's, I think, 7-5 right now. with a really, really bad 31-point loss to UCF, which I guess with the way Pitt has, you know, rose from the dead and gotten into the ACC championship game, I guess that's UCF's most quality win. Maybe the thrashing they give Cincinnati is, but I don't know. This game shouldn't be too much of a one to watch, honestly. I think Clemson's going to blow them out, but good on Pitt for getting there. Next game we're going to talk about is Washington versus Utah, another game that means absolutely nothing. I mean, Washington started off the year losing to Auburn, which that loss looks horrendous now. And, you know, after they didn't win that big non-conference game, they kind of just sat around that 10 ranking the entire year. And then looking at a Utah team that's played some good football this year, I think they're ranked number 15th in the country. And, you know, I guess it's a good game for out west, but I don't. The Pac-12 this year is underachieving. Very mediocre teams, with Stanford and Oregon, that seem to shine some weeks, and then the next week they'll play somebody else and look incredibly average. So I don't really find any interest in that game. So, moving on to Ohio State versus Northwestern, and this is interesting only because Ohio State once again stomping out Michigan's dreams of going to the college football playoffs, hanging 63 points on Michigan, the statistically ranked number one defense in the country, and Ohio State made them look like children. It was embarrassing to watch for Michigan fans, and I'm not sure how you can keep Coach Harbaugh there much longer if he doesn't beat Ohio State. I think he has to beat Ohio State next year and make the playoffs, or I think he's gone. 9-3 with a loss to Ohio State doesn't work. 11-1 with a loss to Ohio State still doesn't work. And now for Ohio State, like, if you look at it, they're going into this game, this championship, Big Ten championship game against Northwestern, who has an 8-1 conference record, but is 1-3 out of conference. It just proves time and time again that the Big Ten can't hang with the other big conferences. No matter how many teams they have ranked in the top 10, looking like the SEC, your Big Ten West team representative is 8-1 in conference and 8-4 overall. I just did the math. They're 0-3. I can't do math. They're 0-3 in out of conference. That's embarrassing. It's embarrassing. And they're representing half of your conference? That's embarrassing. Moving on to Oklahoma versus Texas, the Red River rivalry. That is the first time I've done it correctly on the first try. Look at me. Oklahoma versus Texas, what a great game it was in the Cotton Bowl. And Texas coming out on top with a last-second field goal. I'm really excited to see how Oklahoma comes out, because after a tough rivalry loss, wow, well, I had my luck. Now it's gone. Rivalry loss. They have a chance to redeem themselves against Texas, and I think that they will. I think that they are the better team, and I think they are probably going to beat Texas by a couple touchdowns. And how many teams can say that they've beaten everybody on their schedule? Oklahoma will be able to say that, and that will, I think, be the key in them getting into the playoffs. So I hope Oklahoma can pull it out over Texas. And then moving on to UCF versus Memphis. First off, I just want to say I was at the USF game versus UCF when Mackenzie Milton got hurt, and I want to give my deepest prayers and my thoughts to Mackenzie Milton and his family, because it was a very, very nasty injury, and it's so unfortunate for such a talented player that he's going to have to recover from that. And I do think he will recover from it. We all hope so. We're all very hopeful. And it, you hate to see any player playing the game he loves go down like that. But such a talented player that so many people love to watch. You know, all prayers to Mackenzie Milton. But going back to the UCF versus Memphis game, this game is at UCF, but I think the fact that Memphis, barring a botched time management by their coach during the season, would have beaten UCF. I don't see how UCF without Mackenzie Milton is going to be able to pull through and end up beating Memphis. I think it's over. I think the streak's over. And it's unfortunate for it to end like this. But I think Memphis is going to come out on top. And I think they're going to win the American Conference and not UCF. Well, now that we're on that low, low note going out of the Mackenzie Milton injury, we're going to go to my knee-jerk reactions. That's unfortunate. Wow. My knee-jerk reactions after the college basketball tournaments and invitationals. The Maui Invitational is over. The Cancun tournament is over. Everybody's back. And now I want to talk about the teams that really have impressed me, the teams that haven't impressed me as much. And we're going to get started with the Auburn Tigers, who I really think are the real deal. With great senior leadership in Jared Harper and Bryce Brown in the backcourt, it's going to be hard to ever count them out of a game. You know, like, it's sometimes you can break teams and get them out of their comfort zone. But I think with this team, they're always going to be play great defense, very, very level-headed. And I think that Auburn is the real deal. And oh, the difference maker, in my opinion, by far, is Austin Wiley. If you haven't had a chance to see him, he can't shoot, so he's not going to be flashy. But he works hard, he runs the floor, he blocks shots, he rebounds, he's got a great post game, and he's got a little athleticism to him. He caught a couple alley-oop dunks, looks really good, moves well on defense. I think having that such that dominant presence at 6'11", and just another big man to rotate in that can really rebound the basketball, is going to be incredibly important for Auburn this year. And I think they're the real deal. And if you haven't had a chance to watch them, I think you should. Moving on, so one game that I'm always so excited for at the beginning of the year, every year, Florida versus Florida State basketball. It always sounds so enticing, like a game that should be just one of the best games of the year. And every year we're always disappointed because Florida State either outplays them or out-hustles them, out-rebounds them, out-athletics them. I just created a word. But like, it's never, they're never more talented than Florida. Florida State, except for maybe this year, they've never been more talented than Florida, but they've always seemed to work harder and always seemed to get those loose balls in that game. And for the last 5 years, they've blown Florida out. And we're not talking like 15. I'm talking 30-point leads with 15 minutes to go in the second half. Like, turn off the game and go to bed, it's not worth watching type of play. And it's the same exact thing this year. Florida comes out, can't shoot, you know, can't defend the bigger players, and struggles offensively with getting anything at the rim, and they get embarrassed by Florida State. I don't understand why you can't show up early in the season for a rivalry game. That's just me. But moving on, Michigan can really play. They went in to Villanova after losing to them in the national championship game. Yes, I know Villanova's lost players. Villanova's a powerhouse. Doesn't matter if they lose players. They reload, not rebuild. So Michigan goes into Villanova and doesn't just beat Villanova, they beat them by 30. Absolutely thrashed Villanova. But then in the ACC Big Ten tournament, Michigan goes out and plays a North Carolina team that returns a lot of starts. I think the stats 103 starts from last year's team. A lot of depth, a lot of really good players. Nasir Little looking like he's going to be the number two overall pick. Absolutely incredible team. And they made them look silly. Michigan absolutely abused a North Carolina team that is supposed to be very good, and it wasn't even close. It never felt close. It never felt like Michigan was ever not going to lose that ball game. They've got a team this year. They had a team last year. It always just seems like John Beilein can really just put a team together and focus on their strengths and really play to their strengths. And they always play great defense, but they really play to their strengths. So moving on to Gonzaga, who is the winner of the Maui Invitational. Gonzaga with Austin Tilley, I think. I'll look his name up in a second. But Gonzaga without a very key piece in their lineup looks like the best team in the country. Let me see. Yeah, Gonzaga Tilley. Killian Tilley. Gonzaga's Killian Tilley, an all-American type player, out for a couple games. I don't know if it's the season or not. I know he's out, though. And they just took down Duke. And before that game, Duke was claimed unbeatable. Absolutely unbeatable by anybody or anything. And Gonzaga comes in with great guard play, senior leadership, big men who play hard, run the floor, and defended well and made open shots. Gonzaga is such a solid team. And that's the thing, is I'll get to it in a second, but they're a man down and they're playing this well. Imagine when they get him back. Gonna be absolutely crazy when they get him back. I'm looking it up now. He had a stress fracture on his ankle and is out for 8 weeks. So he's coming back. Gonzaga's really good. Mark Few's got a really good team. He always has a really good team. They're always really well coached. And I'm liking his team this year. Moving on, last but not least, to Duke. And, you know, I love all the hype around Duke. It's great for the game. Everybody loves watching that type of basketball, that really good type of basketball where everybody's sharing the basketball and everybody's getting along really well and highlight plays and all that stuff. Duke's great. But I'm with Coach K. You've gotta settle down these expectations for these freshmen. Because I say every year, experience and the seniors beat the true freshmen every year. And look at it. Just go ahead and look at when Duke plays an experienced, composed team versus a highly ranked freshman-led team. We'll start with the beginning of the year. They blew out a freshman-led Kentucky team. Blew them out 40 points. That's when this all started. Best team ever. You know, can't wait to watch them win all of their games, all of that stuff. And then they did it again to Indiana in the Big Ten versus ACC tournament. Did it again. Blew them out by 20. 20 points. Yeah, they were at Cameron, but they blew them out by 20. Romeo Langford, the fifth best player out of that class, blew him out by 20. Get out of here. But when you look at them playing Auburn, who doesn't have those giant, big-named freshmen, no, none of those. But they do have really good senior leadership, brought a lot of players back, have a lot of talent, brought have a couple really highly rated sophomores that were really highly rated last year that came back, senior leadership, and all of a sudden Duke looked vulnerable. Without a great game from Marquise Bolden at center, their returner, by the way, his sophomore year, without him coming back and playing an incredible game, Auburn wins that basketball game. So, and then you move on to who we just talked about, Gonzaga, who might be the best basketball team in the country this year with senior leadership, and they lost. They lost by two or three. They lost by one possession. But, you know, that's the way you got to beat them. They're beatable. You just got to have good senior leadership and play good fundamental basketball, because once you take away the highlight reel, they start playing and showing their freshman mistakes. You take away the highlight reel, and you can beat them. Now we're going to move on to the NFL and the news in the NFL right now, and man, do we have breaking news for you. We're jumping right into the Kareem Hunt, not Ray Rice, certainly looked like Ray Rice. Kareem Hunt's video is released. Kareem Hunt, it should be noted that he was not arrested at the time because they couldn't decide if there had even been a crime that was committed. So he was not arrested at the time. It came out at the time, and he has not been punished further by the NFL. It's coming. The video released today, very bad. If you need to see it, go see it. If you haven't seen it, it's very bad. Go watch it. But it's never acceptable to put your hands on a woman, and Kareem Hunt is going to get the Ray Rice penalty. This is the end of Kareem Hunt. Unfortunately, he was a great, great football player, but, you know, there are lines you just don't cross, you don't do, and he crossed one of them, and he deserves the penalty that he's going to get. There's no sympathy here for what Kareem Hunt did, and I hope he is kicked out of the league for not following the rules and just doing something that we have all tried to draw awareness to. Even the NFL is drawing awareness to domestic abuse and domestic violence. And he just, you know, it's a shame that he would do it. And, you know, best of luck to him out of football, because I don't think he'll be playing football anytime soon. Leonard Fournette, we're going to move on to Leonard Fournette and his suspension for, ironically, punching somebody on the field. I guess one punch, that's much better than punching somebody off the field, for sure. But Leonard Fournette getting suspended is just, it's another one of those hometown hero moments where people from Florida doing stupid stuff when they, you know, when they need to be on the field. And Leonard Fournette, you know, this is a big game against a really, really hot Colts team that beat you like 3 weeks ago. And now you're going to be out again for the game. It's at home. And Andrew Luck's playing out of his mind. Your defense looks awful. I mean, it's a bonehead decision to get thrown out of a game in the first place that you guys end up losing. But in the second, you're going to get suspended for a game, miss a super big important divisional game, and basically you just ensured your team isn't going to the playoffs this year. So Miles Jack wasn't down. Yes, he was. 100% Miles Jack was down. But we're never going to get a rematch because y'all are never going back. It was fun, Jacksonville. It's over. Moving on to the Cowboys win over a great offense. I don't care what the Cowboys defensive player said. It was a great offense. Great offense with Drew Brees and Alvin Kamara and Mark Ingram. But what a great defensive effort by the Cowboys. Giving up 10 points to that offense. Wow. What a great effort. And, I mean, they won 13-10. Zeke scored in like the first minute, and then we just kind of sat there with waited and like bated breath and waited to see if either offense could do anything. And Dak is just so subpar. So subpar. Like, I love Dak, and I wanted him to be the next thing in Dallas, and I didn't want, you know, him to not do well, and he's done great. He's the third, since Dak has been drafted, he is the third leading quarterback in wins. Third leading quarterback in wins, behind Tom Brady and Ben Roethlisberger. That's crazy for such a mediocre quarterback. And I say that with all respect to Dak, but he's not throwing the ball downfield, and some people can say that he just doesn't have the weapons. But, and, I mean, yeah, Zeke does a lot of the work, but it's nice having somebody like Zeke to do all the work. So I guess he's got a lot of weapons, but it just doesn't feel like he impacts the game. He misses a lot of throws. He's a winner, and he's always won. But Dak just isn't doing it for me right now, and the problem is he's gonna win a lot more games this year, and they're gonna make the playoffs, and they're gonna have to pay Dak just a boatload of money that he's not worth, and it's gonna come back to bite them in the end because they're not gonna be able to pay Zeke, or they're not gonna be able to pay that front seven on defense, or something like that. And they're going to be stuck with a mediocre quarterback who can't bail them out when he needs to. And they're going to revert back into the Tony Romo era. And that's a shame because I really like Dak and I really like Zeke. And if he takes a pay cut, that would be incredible. But I don't think he will, and he doesn't. He shouldn't. I mean, get your money when you can. And he's earned all of that. But it's tough to watch. Tough to watch a subpar quarterback who's about to make $30 million a year. Next, we are going to move on into the NBA a little bit. I'm going to try this segment out. I really think you guys are going to like it. It's called A Sit Down with Coach, and I am aspiring to be a coach with my life, and so I think this would be a great time for me to, you know, start talking about the game a little bit, give you guys some insight into my coaching mind, and I'm gonna dissect a little bit of the Celtics basketball right now, just because the Celtics seem to be struggling and all of this and that. So I'm gonna dive in and talk to you a little bit about the Celtics, and then we'll finish up the show. So Celtics basketball, they're hanging around 500 in win percentage. Think they're fourth in the East. Kyrie hasn't been doing great, and you know, Jason Tatum hasn't reverted from where he was, but it doesn't really look great. It all looks just a little clunky at times, and the offense doesn't flow the way it needs to. And so I really like the move by Brad Stevens to bring Gordon Hayward off the bench, just because it gives him some time to figure out the game a little bit more. You know, I feel like he's that rookie at this moment, you know, trying to get back to game speed in the NBA. So bringing him off that bench, you know, it's not like there's a bad bench, so like he's got playmakers around him too, and I think it's going to really work out. I think he needs to be a little bit more assertive. He seems timid, and that's understandable with the horrendous injury that happened to him. But I really like the move for Gordon Hayward to be coming off the bench. I also like the move for the defense, Aron Baynes into the starting lineup. That defense, the Celtics have the second best defense in the NBA. It's just tough when you're not hitting shots the way you need to. And, you know, we're talking about not just Kyrie not hitting shots and Gordon Hayward still not hitting shots. And we're talking about, you know, a player in Jaylen Brown who really progressed last year, was shooting over 40% from the three-point line last year, was a big catch and shoot type of player. And even adding Gordon Hayward into the mix really hasn't changed his game any. It's not like he's shooting less from the three-point line. It's not like he's shooting more and from deeper. He's shooting the same shots he was shooting last year, and it's just a matter of fact that they're just not going in this year. His shooting percentage is like at a 31% from the three-point line, which is horrendous for a two-guard who shot 40% last year. You know, that 10% is the difference between a great three-point shooter and a bad three-point shooter. And so, as the Celtics grow and try and figure this out, you have to be able to shoot the three ball. It's known in the NBA. If you can't do it, you're not going to win. And if the Celtics want to grow back into that championship contender with Gordon Hayward in the fold, they're going to have to start shooting the three ball better. So that was sitting down with Coach Nick. And finally, I want to give a special shout out to my coach and mentor, Coach Matthew Dristol of UNF, on his 150th win last year. It's a very special accomplishment, and you know, Coach Dristol means so much to me. He's given me an opportunity to learn from one of the best in the business, and you know, get great experience in the coaching world, and giving me an opportunity and a pathway to follow my dream and do what I love. And is there any better gift than being able to do what you love and being able as a young kid to follow your dream? So I'm forever grateful for Coach Dreskel, and I'm really, really happy for him on his 150th win, and just a truly, truly great accomplishment. Coach Dreskel, I wish you luck tomorrow against Charleston Southern, and go Ospreys. But with my final thoughts, we're going to move to my final four, and after this week, I might give you a little insight on who I think's going to win this week. After this week, I think Clemson's going to be number one, Georgia's going to be number two, Notre Dame's going to be number three, and Oklahoma is going to round out your number four seed. Alabama doesn't make the playoffs, they lose to Georgia. Ohio State gets snubbed, even though I don't think they get snubbed, because I don't think they deserve it over Oklahoma. This has been the Six Man Sports Podcast. I'm your host, Nicky J. Thank you for listening. Have a good one.